Hello, welcome to this audio recording of a recent article from warhornmedia.com. This is episode 132, and the title is Wheaton College and President Buswell, Repentance as Dramaturgy. It's by Tim Bailey. I'm your reader. It's dated April 6, 2024. It's 16th in a series. At the top of the post, note from Tim Bailey. Wheaton alums have emailed a number of responses to this series. Here's one received from the son of a nationally prominent evangelical leader who was a Wheaton alum from the time of Buswell's presidency. And the correspondent writes, reporting what his father said, quote, "As I read this last post," it was the post on the anthropology department at Wheaton that Buswell founded. "As I read this last post, I was reminded of my father saying the trustees chose Edmund for his malleability and lack of courage. They were never again going to permit a president like Buswell to lead Wheaton." And that's the excerpt from the correspondence I received. Now the post. At their January 1940 meeting, the trustees of Wheaton College asked for the resignation of their president, J. Oliver Buswell, Jr. He declined to resign, so they fired him. 83 years later, Wheaton's trustees piled on, denouncing President Buswell as racist and purging his name from Wheaton's campus. What is it about this man that elicits such public displays of disdain or hostility from two separate Wheaton boards of trustees almost a century apart? Isn't it safe to assume the guy himself was the problem and not the trustees? Wheaton's trustees depend on their constituents thinking this way. It seems safe to denounce a man who left campus 80 years ago, dictating and signing his final letters, quote, "ex-president," unquote, as he cleaned out his office. And then I have a illustration of such a letter written in his final days in office where he has it typed out, "ex-president." Who's going to stand up for a man whose departure was so ignominious? These former things provide Dave Geezer, his fellow trustees, and their president, Phil Ryken, good cover for bashing Buswell yet again, proving themselves sons of their 1940 fathers. Appeasing their students, Geezer and his trustees called on the more malleable among their faculty members and staff for scholarly assistance, dignifying their conscripts with the name, quote, "Historical Review Task Force," unquote. They mandated the production of a document that would justify their planned surrogate repentance in President Buswell's behalf, all to pacify their black, indigenous, and other collegians of color. It took 2 years, but finally, September of last year, 2023, the task force issued their Historic Review Task Force report. Since the report was researched and put together by college profs, one would expect careful scholarship. But no. Thoughtful readers of the report are struck by two things. First, the report's preciousness. No opportunity is missed to signal liberal colleagues that Wheaton's best and brightest are finally getting it. Racism, reparations, land rights. I was surprised to find no mention of St. Greta Thunberg or single-use plastic bags. The task force is so desperate to please. Second, the report's tendentiousness. It's been amazing to spend months and months collecting all the historical facts these Wheaton profs excluded. After a while, it became undeniable the exclusions were intentional. All of them flowed in one direction. It's clear the trustees got what they paid for, quote, "pay no attention to the rest of the story," unquote. The previous 15 articles in this series document much of this rest of the story, but there's more. Before we return to this theme, though, of the rest of the story, let's stop to consider our cultural moment and the significance of what Wheaton's trustees and administration have been doing since the release of the report last September. Subheading, Our Patricidal Culture, Father Killing. Wheaton's administration, under the authority of their trustees, have been making a shambles of their authority for decades. We've documented some of the more scandalous episodes, and there's a link there to a whole bunch of posts that we've made in the past about Wheaton going back years. But we haven't documented any so thoroughly as this latest. Why spend so much time on this one? Lies told by religious leaders in order to avoid threats to their power and money should be exposed, particularly when they chatter about repentance as cover for their slander. Beyond slander and hypocrisy, their lies are assaults upon the character and reputation of a godly father. For decades now, Western society has given itself to a virulent display of hatred for our fathers. In their much ballyhooed report, Ryken and his trustees are placating this hatred. As I write, Ryken and his fellow administrators have been announcing several campus celebrations of their report's spiritual accomplishments, congratulating themselves publicly and issuing invitations to join them in their joy. Recently, they publicized their latest one, announcing they had issued an invitation to the Reverend Dr. Charlie Dates to come and bless them for their surrogate repentance. And then this is the announcement sent out under Phil Ryken's signature. Dear Wheaton College community, on behalf of the Historical Review Implementation Task Force, you are invited to attend the Historical Review Symposium on Tuesday, March 12th. It's titled Repentance, Responsibility, and Renewal, March 12th, 7 to 8:30 p.m. at Barrows Auditorium. This symposium will feature Reverend Dr. Charlie E. Dates on the topic of biblical repentance, institutional responsibility, and communal renewal. Dr. Dates is the senior pastor of the Salem Baptist Church of Chicago, as well as pastor of Progressive Baptist Church of Chicago. Dr. Dates serves as an affiliate professor at George W. Truett Theological Seminary at Baylor University, Trinity Evangelical Divinity School, and Wheaton College. He earned a Master's of Divinity and a Ph.D. in Historical Theology from Trinity Evangelical Divinity School in Deerfield, Illinois. Dr. Dates is a contributing author to Letters to a Birmingham Jail, a response to the words and dreams of Dr. Martin Luther King, Jr., and Say It, Celebrating Expository Preaching in the African-American Tradition. This is an important event for our campus community. It follows the fall symposium, which featured a multidisciplinary faculty discussion of the Historical Review. This evening with Dr. Dates will benefit faculty, staff, students, and alumni as we continue to engage together the findings of the Historical Review. Philip Ryken, President. Well, so what was the Reverend Dr. Charlie Dates' blessing? The student paper at Wheaton reports as follows, quote, Charlie Dates, senior pastor at Chicago's Progressive Baptist Church and Salem Baptist Church, two predominantly black churches, delivered a message about how the college can continue to strive toward these virtues, especially on racial justice issues. And then they have this in that article, they have this quote from Charlie Dates, quote, maybe Wheaton will seek not just to be the Ivy League of Christian institutions, but the kind of institution that raises up relevant Christian leaders, leaders who are not so addicted to old white male theology, so drunk on the commentaries of slaveholders that they can break away from white supremacy in our scripture reading and preach the truth, unquote. Subheading, Dates' Animus. The Reverend Dr. Charlie Dates has a dream, doesn't he? Dates' dream is that one day, relevant Christian leaders will once and for all repudiate the old theology, the white theology, the male theology. Now, I do hope you didn't bother getting in a huff about this. Such blowhard rhetoric is merely the required response of a black spokesman to white self-abnegation. It's banal and should anger no one who takes offense at a cliche. Dates should get a grip. Black men have won nothing at Wheaton. They shouldn't mistake surrogate repentance for the real thing. He might also realize that racism is racism, whether white or black. Beyond haranguing whites, Dates appealed to the conceit of youth and the hatred of men, dissing the, quote, old, unquote, and the, quote, male, unquote. Being pronounced by a black man, all of it was perfectly scripted to provide a catharsis for Wheaton's president, trustees, and faculty. Spiritual dramaturgy. We must recognize and expose this spiritual hypocrisy clothed in the name of God. Keep in mind the similar charade put on by the false prophets of the time of Judah's King Jehoshaphat. From 1 Kings 22, verses 10 to 12, "Now the king of Israel and Jehoshaphat, king of Judah, were sitting each on his throne, arrayed in their robes, at the threshing floor at the entrance of the gate of Samaria. And all the prophets were prophesying before them. Then Zedekiah, the son of Kenaanah, made horns of iron for himself and said, quote, 'Thus says the Lord, with these you will gore the Arameans until they are consumed,' unquote. All the prophets were prophesying thus, saying, quote, 'Go up to Ramoth-Gilead and prosper, for the Lord will give it into the hand of the king,' unquote. Prophets appeasing the kings by dancing with horns on their heads are not true prophets. Appeasement is always flattery, and flattery is the tool which identifies the false prophet. Stop for a moment to consider the students' parents who are paying these men to educate their sons and daughters, quote, for Christ and his kingdom, unquote. Slandering a godly father, then defending that slander by claiming it is godly repentance before God, betrays not only that father, but the students' fathers. And finally, God the Father Almighty, from whom all fatherhood is named. Ephesians 3, 14 and 15, "For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father," the Greek word is patera, "from whom all fatherhood, pasa patria, in heaven and on earth is named. For this reason, I bow my knees before the Father, from whom all fatherhood in heaven and on earth is named." Again, Ephesians 3, 14 and 15. When we strike and curse our godly fathers, we strike and curse our heavenly Father, from whom our fathers received their calling and honor. Readers may ask, quote, "How can we call J. Oliver Buswell a godly father? He was a racist, wasn't he?" Unquote. No. There is no sense of the word racist used rationally that is properly applied to President Buswell. Reading the articles published here in this series makes it clear that those who denounce this father as racist are deceivers. President Buswell systematically opposed racism. He was a reformer whose fruit on the campus of Wheaton, as well as among his children, was a biblically prophetic witness against the racism so prevalent at Wheaton at the time. He left a lasting legacy that opposed segregation and defended interracial marriage, particularly through the discipline and professors of anthropology he brought and institutionalized there at Wheaton. The truth is, J. Oliver Buswell was a reformer. Nail that one down. Without coming to recognize this fundamental truth about this father in the faith, it is impossible to understand why Wheaton's religious leaders have despised, terminated, denounced, and scrubbed the man's name from their campus. Ryken and his hired writers could easily have spent much of their pages and 400 footnotes documenting Buswell's work of reform. But this is the witness evidence in history they gagged. Why? Sheep don't have patience for much beyond who wears the white and who the black hat. So President Buswell had to be unambiguously staged as the villain. In truth, though, prophets are complicated. Because their warnings and condemnations are spoken to the people of God, not the media, politicians, or Marxists, we find them hard to love. Within the church, the best of us have an ambivalent relationship with God's prophets and reformers. And the worst of us? Wheaton has lots of churches of the wealthy for whom the profitability of the godly life must be guarded. No one who grew up in Wheaton or has lived there is confused over why Wheaton hasn't allowed a single man to bear prophetic witness to the people of God over the course of the 80 years since they rid themselves of J. Oliver Buswell. His prophetic witness is the reason Wheaton fired President Buswell, and every man hired since Buswell has understood the terms of his employment. The supreme qualification for the successful candidate for religious leadership positions controlled by Wheaton's men remains malleability. The history Wheaton's best and brightest have assembled mentions only in passing President Buswell's commitment and work of church reform. Yet this work stood at the center of his trustees' decision to rid themselves of him. He had become a noxious presence in their lives. Our next article will open up this matter of why President J. Oliver Buswell Jr. elicited such hostility from Wheaton's trustees yesterday and today. Again, this is 16th in a series. Thank you for listening. Do us a favor. Tell your friends about this podcast of articles from warhornmedia.com. Also, if you're able, please support this work. Go to warhornmedia.com and click on the Patreon link. And if you aspire to shepherd God's flock, take a look at New Geneva Academy. The weight of responsibility for Christ's sheep is heavy. NGA prepares men to depend on the Holy Spirit and bear that weight. Instruction is historical, doctrinal, personal, and thoroughly biblical. Moving is not necessary. Get in touch with us and find out more. This is Pastor Tim Bailey. Until next time, God willing.